This is Healthy Children with Melanie Cole and expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics on Radio MD.
It's time for all those parties, outdoor parties. We got Memorial Day, 4th of July, all kinds of things going on this summer. And what do you want to know about some of the safety things and food and grills and fire pits? And there's a lot of stuff. And my guest today is Dr. Deborah Mulligan. She's the director of the Institute for Child Health Policy. Welcome to the show. So, Dr. Mulligan, I want to start with fire pits and grills because, you know, they scare me. Fire pits scare me. I think of kids tripping or people that have been drinking too much, tripping, falling into these fire pits. You are an emergency physician and a pediatrician. What do you see as the biggest danger of these?
Yeah, so to your good point, I mean, outdoor entertaining during the summer months is a fabulous way to take advantage of the nice weather while mingling with your favorite friends. But, you know, your party can easily go from fun to done in a heartbeat if you don't put safety first. And so let's start with the grill. Whether you're grilling up hot dogs, burgers, making s'mores at the fire pit, egg, whatever you're using, it's important to practice good fire safety habits because you want to make sure that no one gets burned. You're right. We see way too many of these unintentional burns that could be quite severe. They're typically on the hands and chest and face area, which is at very high risk for problems. So you always want to supervise the children around any open flame. And you know, people forget you should take the moment to locate games and activities that the kids might be involved with away from those hot grills. You know, the kids are hungry, they're coming over, they want to see what you're doing, maybe help you cook the burgers or the fish, whatever you're doing. So make sure that you locate their activities away from where you're cooking.
So important now, but, you know, if they do want to sit around the fire pit, and some kids like to pick up the sticks in there and push them around. And there are parents that actually let their kids do that sort of thing. And I'm one of those parents that tells other people's kids to cut it out. But, you know, those kind of fire pits still sometimes scare me because if there's a little wind picking up, there's the ashes cruising around and they can hit people.
That's true. I mean, there are some very affordable and inexpensive covers you can get at any Lowe's, Home Depot, any of those type of stores that you can bring home if you have a fire pit in your yard, or even bring with you if you're traveling to a location that has fire pits on the beach or on the lake shore, and just put it over so that they don't
that's a great
spread
idea.
Into the air. Yeah, they're very easy to get, and they're not expensive.
No, that's a great idea. Okay, so now food. People are always leaving out the mayonnaise, you know, macaroni salad, potato salad, and all of these things. And you're a pediatrician. Are people really getting sick, or does this stuff last longer than we think it does?
No. You're right on point. You got to keep the food fresh. So it's all about the food, and that's what people are coming to the party for: the drink, the fun, the food. And so to keep it. Front of mind, so it's one of your top priorities. I think we're going to find that there's probably five top priorities. One is don't get burned. Now you're talking about keep food fresh. So what you can do is have a big supply of ice on hand to keep cold food cold, and use slow cookers or insulated containers to keep hot foods hot. If possible, depending on where you are, if you can refrigerate those perishables after everyone is served and let them know where they are, so if they want to go get some more, they can if they're hungry later. But you really do have to keep these items cold because there is always the potential of getting some kind of food poisoning from what could have been a real fun day with great-grandma's family recipe.
Some people have trampolines and bounce houses they rent for these occasions. My daughter has been on me like you cannot imagine about getting a trampoline, and I flatly refuse. There is no way in heck I'm bringing one of those onto my property. What do you think of trampolines and these things?
Boy, your daughter wouldn't like me either, because I'd be right behind you saying, your mother's the chief medical officer of your home and I'm her second opinion, no trampoline.
I'm going to have her listen to this, Dr. Mulligan. She's going to hear it 12 times because she asks me every day. Okay, go on.
But if you were to have one, because there's a lot of pressure to make sure that the kids are old enough to properly be using a trampoline. You don't want to put babies in there and younger kids, which I see happen. It's crazy. And then also put the safety net around the perimeter so when they're jumping up and down, they don't fall off.
do those safety nets really work? And do you remember back in the day, Dr. Mulligan, when the safety net was the other children that would stand around the trampoline just in case this kid fell off or stepped through the rings, you know, the springs there, and then they would fall onto another child, and then that child would get hurt and two kids would get hurt instead.
And tell them not to cry and tell on you. Yeah, remember that.
Oh, my God. So I'm never sure if those nettings work, and I just losing teeth and hitting another kid, it's just too much.
I think the best rule of thumb is probably just stay away from them. They're not mandatory. They're not necessary. It's an option, and there's always other fun things to do.
There is always other fun things, and now, you know, Zika is, they're saying up to 39 states could be affected. So we're worried, and now that doesn't necessarily, you know, I mean, with our kids, but certainly childbearing age women and that sort of thing. But what do you want us to know about summer pests and summer safety for that?
Well, to your good point, I mean, Zika's already here for the what they call imported cases. And so I'm standing in Florida, and Florida has over 120 reported cases in our state, and the bulk of them are where I live and work. And so there, it's unquestionably true that somewhere we're going to get a localized outbreak, especially in anywhere in the southwest, southeast, where the particular mosquito that transfers or transmits this virus to people lives and breeds. And we're entering into the summer months, which is when they all they start multiplying. So nothing's less entertaining, right, than any bug bite or sunburn or splinters or scraped knees. And so prior to putting on a party, if you don't already have a first aid kit in your home, you should really stock up, like you say, on the bug repellent. Consumer Product Safety Report just put out a great overview of the best bug repellents for children and adults, looking at both the non-chemical, the alternative choices like eucalyptus oil, where it's correctly used, how often you have to use it, because some of the natural products wear off in 30 minutes and you have to put it back on. Some of them are not good for young children, gives them rashes. So if your listeners want to just jump on to Consumer Product Safety Council best bug repellents, it's a real nice review. And then in terms of sunscreen, let's be good examples to our kids and make sure we apply it to ourselves and to the kids, and always have some, you know, Band-Aids, antibacterial or anti-itch kind of creams that you can get anywhere in any store.
What always amazes me was when I see kids at pools or beaches and such, and the parents have a hat and sunglasses, and they're putting, you know, sunscreen all over their face because they don't want to get wrinkles and such, and their kids are running around, no sunglasses, no hats. You know, they go in and out of the water, their sunscreen isn't reapplied, and so what's good for the goose, right?
Right. Slip, slap, slop. Slip on those shirts, slap on the hat, slop on the cream, and reapply to make sure that they have healthy skin all their lives, as opposed to the adults who are now trying to catch up and manage the sun damage they got when they were kids.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, getting your teenagers to put sunblock on is no mean feat. But if you appeal to their vanity and tell them, you know, how bad it's going to make them look, as opposed to skin cancer, which they don't care about at that point, then it certainly is a way to get them to do it. So wrap it up for us, Dr. Mulligan, in about 30 seconds, summer safety.
Well, okay, so one, stay cool. Have, you know, heat stroke is a scary reality. We're getting some real hot weather right now. Make sure that you have plenty of fluid to have on hand for people to drink and stay cool. Not promoting any kind of alcohol consumption, but oftentimes it's around parties. So make sure there's plenty of water for the adults drinking the alcohol. And also have on hand an app or a phone number where you can catch a Uber or a Lyft or a taxi to take those adults home who shouldn't be driving after they've had a long day in the hot sun. Two, don't get burned. We talked about the grilling. Three, keep foods fresh. We talked about that. Watch the water. You know, make sure that the kids are safe around the pools, that there's a water watcher as an adult. And lastly, you know, about being prepared, like a good Girl Scout. If you've got materials for bug bites, sunburns, splinters, any kind of boo-boos or scrapes.
Thank you so much. What great information. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Stay well.